Hashem tells Moshe, give Aaron HaKohen a command. And that command is, anything funny in that lashon of that pasuk? Why b'ha'aloscha? That is an unusual formulation. And not only is it once, b'ha'aloscha saneros, but then it tells us, again, the pasuk down, it says, Aaron did it. He elevated the neros. It's a funny way of expressing the idea of lighting neros. So that's a difficulty. A second issue that the Rishonim, Rashi, the Ramban, confront is, what is the juxtaposition between this mitzvah that's given to Aaron and what we just read at the end of last week's parsha? Because at the end of last week's parsha, Parsha's Noso, so we had a long series of psukim that deal with the Chanukah Samishkan, and every carbon and every gift that was given by every single Nasi as part of the Chanukah HaMishkan. And Nasi after Nasi, and it's all very repetitive and kind of redundant. And the question is obvious, why all the repetition? But that's a question for last week's Parsha. But what is the connection, if any, between that and Aaron giving this command? So who jumps on this question? Rashi jumps on the question. And Rashi asks, first Rashi in the Parsha, why do we have this juxtaposition? And he says, Lefi, shekasharah Aaron Chanukas HaNasim. When Aaron saw all the work that was done by the Nasim, Mr. Krakauer, you're too comfortable. When he saw all the work that was done, all the gifts and that was done by the Nasim, Cholsha Oz Da'ato. He got depressed. He got upset. Because he wasn't one of the ones that was bringing kabbonos and that was giving these gifts. Lohu, not him. Velo shivto, and not his shevet, not shevet Levi. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem says to Aaron, chayecha, don't worry, all is good. Shalcha gedola mishelahem. Sha'ata madlik umeitiv es haneiros. Because you know what you're going to get to do? You're going to get to go every single morning to the menorah, which is burning overnight, and at some point goes out. And you know what you're going to get to do? You're going to go put on some gloves, clean out the ash that was in the menorah from yesterday, clean out the menorah, and you're going to go ahead and get to light the menorah. So don't worry. Because all those kabbanas, all those gifts that were done by the Nesiim, don't worry. Shelcha gedola mishelahem, you're going to go ahead and get to clean out the menorah. Wow. That's amazing. Amazing. So Aaron, you got the gift of being the cleaning lady of the Beis HaMikdash. Don't worry, all is good. So comes on the Ramban. The Ramban doesn't like this pshat so much. After all, there's a lot of things that Aaron does. Why the Neros specifically? And what's so special about cleaning out the menorah? So you know what the Ramban says? Unbelievable pshat. Aaron is going to be given some gift that has to do with the menorah. You know what that gift is? It's about 1,500 years forward. It's the Chashmonaim. And the nace of Chanukah. Don't worry, Aaron. I have something good for you and your shevet. Because the nace of Chanukah is going to be brought about by your progeny. By the Chashmonaim. What shevet were they from? They were Kohanim. And therefore, Shalcha, we're going to celebrate Chanukah every year. And don't worry, yours is so much greater. That's the Ramban. Nice Ramban. This is all foreshadowing the mitzvah of Chanukah. That's not Rashi. What is the message of Rashi? What's the idea that Rashi's telling us? And I believe that the message is, the menorah is a special kli. It's inside the Heichal. It lights, it represents Torah, it represents mitzvah, kiner mitzvah v'torah or. But at the end of the day, perhaps the message that Aaron has been given, and the message that I take away from this Rashi, is the Nisim had this moment. It was an amazing, amazing moment. The Mishkan is being inaugurated. They're bringing gifts, they're bringing karbanos. It was a moment. And it was incredible. And Aaron felt a little bad that he wasn't directly participant in that moment. in that matzav, in that event. And what Hashem is telling him is, don't worry. I have something that's 10 times better. And what's 10 times better is not the amazing, amazing moments. That's cool. That's nice. That's exciting. But the day in and day out, every morning you're in the Beis HaMikdash. Every morning you're not just in the Ezras Yisrael. You're in the Ezras Kohanim. You're the Kohen Gadol. You have special zechut. Every morning you're working with the menorah. Consistency day in and day out. Yeah, it might not be as exciting as the menorah, as the Nisim, but that was a one-time deal. And yours is every single day, day in, day out. And as I reflect on this idea, you think about fireworks are very exciting when you see fireworks. Very cool, dramatic, a lot of noise, pomp, and circumstance, and it's geschmack. But no one is illuminating their day-to-day existence with fireworks. You have these ugly, plain, fluorescent bulbs. But you need the fluorescent bulbs. Those fluorescent bulbs are really that which is producing the light, not the dramatic fireworks. And there is a certain glory in the day-to-day grind. And a little link, perhaps, to what we experienced collectively in the yeshiva over the past 48 or so hours. To me, again, going into this campaign, I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I didn't know if it would be moderately successful, minimally successful, maximally successful. No idea. No idea. And you give it a shot. You do your best. And you bring whatever energy you can bring in, Baruch Hashem. A tremendous, tremendous amount of energy. And it was exciting. And everyone got involved. And it was a happening. And it was an event. It was a matzah. It was tremendous. And then kind of, okay. And it's for me, and probably for you, if you ask me, like, going into the event, is this going to be the highlight of the year? I would have said, like, what? Like fundraising, a highlight of the year? But I think when you look back, and we'll look back, we'll say this was definitely one of the highlights of the year. And I want to share with you a letter that I wrote today to the rabbi, to the staff, to the entire staff of the yeshiva, which kind of reflects, and it could have just as easily been written to you, but I think it reflects an idea that I'm trying to express. So the subject line of this email was as follows: exhausted, exhilarated, and overwhelmed with thanks. The above subject line expresses exactly what I'm feeling right now. I'm still feeling it right now. Yes, I am definitely exhausted. But that, Be'ezrat Hashem, will soon pass. Though a sheer Shabbaton this week does not help. But okay. Yes, I am most definitely exhilarated. Aside from the money raised, which is merely the way we keep score, but to see so many different facets of the Mevasert family come together in such a beautiful way was nothing short of inspiring. Every part of an amazing team was involved and really bought in. Rabbeim, office staff, kitchen staff, maintenance staff, madrichim, abayim, programming staff, current Talmidim, alumni, current parents, alumni parents, everyone teaming together was energizing and powerful. The energy in the yeshiva and in the USA was infectious, and this, and at least from my inexperienced eye, this was a model in how these types of campaigns are supposed to work. It was a success on every level. Most amazing for me was to see how much fun everyone seemed to be having. Who would have thought fundraising could be so much fun? The feedback we have gotten from everywhere was so overwhelmingly positive. I love to see the guys get so into it, and obviously they're being led by the positive energy and force of the Rabbeim and the entire staff. Only one word really can accurately describe it all. Wow. Lastly, and most importantly, I feel overwhelmed with thanks. Of course, to the donors. Your generosity and support is the tachlis that helps us concretize our success. Of course, to all the student and alumni ambassadors and team leaders. Their collective and early buy-in was so important to give us all the needed chizuk to plunge all in. But most importantly, by far, to you. I'm talking to the staff. To you. Not just for your contributions to the yeshiva over the past 48 hours. That certainly was big and amazing and incredibly appreciated. I was overwhelmed by how everyone leaned into their discomfort, myself included, and forced forward with amazing results. This is really big and really incredible. But that is not what I'm most appreciative for. What I'm most thankful for is everything you have done to build Mevaseret over the past 12 years. We are a brand. We are a name. We are a proud and successful yeshiva because of the incredible work that you all put in and day out. A successful campaign does not just happen because of a lot of calls and WhatsApps on the day of the campaign. It is successful because people have bought into what the organization has achieved, what it stands for, the hard work that is put in every single day, and by the sincerity of the people doing that work. The success of the campaign is because of the avodah ne'emanah put in by every one of you every single day. So from the bottom of my heart, I thank you all for your friendship, for your partnership, for your hard work, for your amazing achievements the past 2 days and every single day, and for being such an integral part of building Mevaseret into the special Makom Torah and growth that it is. Why am I sharing that with you? Because that last paragraph to me is exactly what I'm talking about. Is the campaign, we'll call that a muscle of what I'm trying to express. And what I'm trying to express is the idea that the campaign was 2 days of blitz. And it was amazing blitz. It was gewaltig. But the success of the 2 day blitz was a function of you and Rebbe and every person, perhaps over the past 7, 8, 9, 10 years, day in, day out, grit of work, of steiging, of doing what we're supposed to be doing, day in and day out, the menorah every single day. Yeah, so it doesn't have necessarily the glitz of a 2 day, $1.2 million campaign type of situation, but the success of that 2 day campaign is because of the day in and day out commitment. And I'm sharing this with you because, yes, this letter was written to the Rabbeim and to the staff. But it's the same exact message and the same exact success. It's your success. And your success is not just because of those 2 days. Your success has been defined by what you have accomplished the past 2 years and what you have accomplished this year. And that day in, day out of putting it out there, grinding, pushing yourself, and Be'ez Hashem in the future is exactly what's going to make you so great. And indeed, perhaps, again, another thought on this idea is your litmus test. The litmus test of your growth is not going to be in those glitzy moments. It's going to be when you go back to the day-to-day grind. In a week and a half, 2 weeks, you'll be on a plane without a yeshiva environment. And that'll be a litmus test. Am I getting to the right minyanim at the right times? Am I putting in a reasonable amount of time every day in learning? Am I being a Baal Chesed to the people that I love most in my home, in my family, that care so deeply about me? Are the core values of the day-to-day yeshiva experience, is it just a function of a good environment and a good chevra, no doubt important, but how does it carry forward? That'll be a great litmus test of one's Yirah Shamayim, how we bring it ahead. And indeed, Aaron, when we are told about this command he was given, the Torah tells us he has to go ahead and he's charged with this mitzvah of lighting the menorah. But then we're told, Vayas Kein Aaron, El Mul Penei Menorah, Rashi says, what does it mean? Vayas Kein Aaron, Lahagid Shivcho Shel Aaron Sheloshina. He was told what to do, and it's exactly what he did. For 40 years, it's exactly what he did. He didn't deviate day in, day out, the daily grind. That's exactly what he accomplished. And that's message number one out of four. Message number two. Aaron got depressed. Chol Shadata. Got depressed. What did he get depressed about? So he got depressed that the other Nesiim, the other Shvatim, had this thing going in the Mishkan. And he wanted Mishkan too. And he didn't have it. So it got him depressed. I want Mishkan also. I want to touch Shekhinah too. And he didn't have it. So Chol Shadaita, he got depressed. And Hashem says, don't worry. I would like to suggest that what gets you depressed, what gets you upset, what bothers you, is a great indicator of what's truly important to you in your life. Let's assume, for example, that a certain hockey team hailing out of Uniondale, New York, let's assume that they lose their next two games. Halavai. We should all be zayich. Your shirt matches your face. Anyway. So if that would get us depressed, that would indicate that perhaps we're getting down because of a certain sports team. That would indicate that we are sports-centered. And that's what's bothering us. When our team doesn't do well, we get depressed. That means we're a sports-centered person. If we go down to the Chadar Ochel on a certain night, and there's a lousy meal, chas v'shalom. I know it doesn't happen, but if once in a yovel, and we got angry, we get depressed, that bothers us, chol shadaita, that's perhaps suggesting that we're very food-centered, and we have that sense of focus in our lives. If perhaps our stocks, I see a lot of common sweatshirts tonight, our business is perhaps taking a downturn for some reason. So perhaps, and we get so depressed, we get down about that, perhaps, we are too money-centered and too business-centered. I wonder, perhaps there's a person here or two, maybe once in a while, who might walk into late to shul on a given Maariv, on a given Mincha, perhaps even in a given Shacharis, 10 minutes late, 12 minutes late, perhaps even misses once in a while. How depressed do we get from that? Do we get Chol Shadaito? Are we bothered? Because if not, perhaps we overslept. Does it bother us when we oversleep? Do we have this angst and anguish? Chol Shadaito. Because if we do, great. That means that we are tefillah-centered. And yes, sometimes we oversleep and it bothers us. So then, okay, we're tefillah-centered. But if, yeah, it's okay. I got tomorrow. I got the next tefillah. I'm bothered by my sports team. I'm bothered by my fantasy team. That gets me depressed. But if my having a bad Seder doesn't bother me, so then that also perhaps requires some reflection, something to think about as we hurtle towards the end of the year. You know, I was talking to someone, should I say that now? I was talking to someone a week ago, and he tells me, a bacher in the yeshiva, he tells me like, he's feeling a little like burnt out. He's feeling like he's got a couple of weeks left, and he doesn't know, like, he's kind of feeling like end of his man, end of his Shana Aleph, it's the last week, what's the point? So my response to him was, it's the last week? Are you dying? Chas v'shalom? I think I said that to him. It's the last week? I think there's a perspective to be had. And that is, yes, in a week and a half time, this time that we happen to be in now is going to come to a hiatus. But But this is just a stage in the entire existence and life that is you. And if that which is important to you, if Talmud Torah is important to you, if growth in learning, if connection to Hashem, if growth in tefillah is important to you, then whether there's 2 weeks left in this tenure, it's not relevant. Because Bez Hashem, there's Admei Ve'esim Shana left in my learning, and in my tefillah, and in my growth. So the fact that it's in this base matters, in this shul or not, really ought to be irrelevant. And I'll come back to that point in a moment or two. Point number three I just want to bring out from this week's parasha from the beginning, first psukim. We opened up Baha'alosra. You shall rise up. Get another beautiful Rashi. Why Baha'alosra? Rashi gives two pshatim. Pshat number one is because Dorshu Rabboseinu Mikan Shemala Haisa Lifnei HaMenorah. There was a staircase up the menorah. The menorah is very tall. So for the Kohen, the Aaron, to go ahead and get to the menorah and properly do what he had to do, he had to go up. He had to climb the stairs. Male hoisof nema menorah she'aleha ha-Kohen omeidu meitiv. And I believe, I would suggest, perhaps, what's the message that Rashi's telling us? Why was there a step you had to climb to light the menorah? So I think the message is that the Torah wants us to be ambitious. The Torah wants us to set not $1 million goals, but $1.2 million goals. The Torah wants us. The Torah wants us to reach, to climb, not settle, not be satisfied, not just hope things go easy. It wants us to climb. It wants us to stretch ourselves. It wants people growing. Baha'alosra es haneros. It wants us to stretch our days, to make every single day count. Yaakov Avinu, at the end of his life, the Torah tells us that Bikesh Yaakov, Leishe Beshalva, he wanted to kind of end his life with a sense of peace and tranquility. And Rashi brings down over there that no, tzaddikim, you want peace and tranquility? That's not for tzaddikim. Yeah, peace and tranquility, lazy people, maybe. There's no such thing as retirement from being a tzaddik. There's no such thing as losing ambition. I remember last year, I was speaking to Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita. I asked him how his day was. And he said, very busy. He said, too busy. And yes, you want something to get done, you give it to busy people. And during COVID, when like the world shut down, Rav Asher wrote a 600-page sefer on Hilchos COVID and is constantly producing material. Busy people don't, yet busy people are busy. And tzaddikim might want the opportunity to take it a little easy. But that's not what Hashem has in mind. Ambition. Stepping forward, stepping up, reaching out, setting high goals. That is Baha'alosra Saneiros. And finally, pshat number, the fourth idea, and Rashi brings it as well, we mentioned this last week, is that when I was to light the candle, when he brought the wick to the other, to the menorah, he had to leave it there. Ad shetehei ha-shalheves, until the flame is ola me'eleha. It had to stand on its own. If it was flickering, if it wasn't stable as a flame on its own, then yes, a requirement to keep it there. Ad shetehei ha-shalheves, ola me'eleha. June is coming forward. We're hitting towards the summer. And again, litmus tests and interesting opportunities that present themselves during a Bein Hazmanim. But I think if you ask me what one of the missions, certainly my mission for you, and I don't think we do it well enough, but it's something I want to put on your agenda, is the concept of Shetehei HaShalheves Ola Me'elea Ba'alos Chasaneiros. We're very used to, like, okay, if there's shir, then I'm preparing for shir. If I have shir that day, then I'm in the base medrash. What are we doing in general on our free time? What are we doing on our Fridays, on our Bein Asdaris, on our Motzei Shabbos, between 1 and 3, 6 to 8, 10 to 1, what are we doing during those times? What are we doing when a Rebbe is in Chutz Laaretz for an alumni's wedding, for alumni relations, whatever it might be? How well are we utilizing, how well are we at HaShalheves Ola Me'eleha? How is our internal motivation when the Rebbe is not there, when the Rosh Yeshiva is not there? How well are we doing at Shetehei HaShalheves Ola Me'eleha? A Rebbe's job, as we mentioned, is to go ahead and make it such that the Talmud doesn't need the Rebbe anymore. That the Talmud has independence. That the Talmud is sufficiently motivated, sufficiently skilled, sufficiently a Yorei Shamayim, that, sure, this is where I'm drawn to, and this is what I'm going to try to accomplish. Shetehei HaShalheves Omedes Me'elel. In yeshivas, places like the Mir, places like Panovich. So the way the calendar works, Zmanim end. Elul Zman ends on Yom Kippur. And Chorev Zman ends Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Kayit Zman ends Tisha B'Av. But there's a bad joke that is made in the yeshivas. And the joke is that all Zmanim end on a times. What do they have in mind? Yeah, Kayit Zman is supposed to end Tisha B'Av. That's a times, that's not when it really ends. Everyone's pretty much done Shivas HaBetamos. That times. El Zman, yeah, that ends Yom Kippur. And Chor Zman ends on Tainus Esther. Even though it's supposed to go 2 weeks more. But everyone packs out already time. Purim, they're done. And there is the phenomena that Rav Berg likes to speak about, and I resist, that Zmanim don't end. They peter out. And I am the anti-Zmanim petering out personality. It just doesn't jive with who I am. If the calendar says banquet June 6th, I don't care if rehearsal's away a couple of days. I don't care if Steinitz is going to a wedding for alumnus for a couple of days. The calendar says June 6th. It's June 6th. And I'm plugging away, pushing. What's so funny, Mr. Tuckman? Is that amazing? Unbelievable. So we push and we accomplish. And with this in mind, I want to share with you an amazing idea. Really special. And we have these upside down nuns in this week's parasha. Very funny. Vayihi ben Saharon. And it's like these parentheses. Upside down nuns. If you look in the Sefer Torah, do you have upside down nuns in the Sefer Torah? That's my Chumash. Yeah, it's in the Torah. It's not just in the Chumash. It's in the Torah, upside down nuns. So why? Why do you have these upside down nuns? Vayihi ben Saharon. So Soloveitchik has an unbelievable shir. Maybe I'll share with you some of his ideas next week. But I'm going to just read a Rashi based on a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Rashi says, you know what, Vayibin Sarom? Loma She'in Zemekomo. You have the upside down nun to tell you this is out of place. It doesn't belong here. So why was it put here? These two psukim were put here, they belong elsewhere. Why? Kedei lahafsik bein puranus lipuranus. It's there to separate between a set of bad things. And you do not want to have consecutive bad things. So we'll stick in. We'll uproot the psukim from there to here to separate lahafrid bein puranius lipuranus. Okay. What's the puranis? What's all the bad things that we're worried about? So Rashi doesn't really clue us in fully. I'm looking at the psukim. I'll tell you what happens afterwards. Yep, that's pretty bad. Vayihi ha'am kimisonanim ra be'oznei Hashem. The nation was a nation of murmurers. What does murmuring mean in Yiddish? They started to kvetch. They were kvetches. About what? Nothing important. And Hashem got angry. What are you kvetching about? It's no basis. And he got angry. And a fire erupts in the machane. And the place is called Tavera. And then the pasuk continues. And it says, then there was an asasuf, what we refer to as the Erev Rav, a fifth column of foreigners that was in the ranks that started to also start to create rebelliousness. And they started to say, there's no good food over here. And all of a sudden, the Jewish people started to cry out, Mi achilenu basar, who's going to give us meat? And they remembered with fondness the fish and the squash, and the watermelons, and the onions, and the garlics, and the great food that their Egyptian oppressors fed them in Mitzrayim. A second Puranis. But what's, that's like after Vayihi ben Sarah. What's the Puranis beforehand? So Pasuk says that the Jewish people were at Har Sinai. And after being at Har Sinai, Vayisu Mehar Hashem. Derech Shol Shamim, they left. They left Har Sinai. What's the problem? What's the problem? Are you not supposed to leave Har Sinai eventually? So Rashi, the Ramban, Chazal all say, problem was how they left Har Sinai. Of course they have to leave Har Sinai. Of course you have to leave yeshiva. But how do you leave yeshiva? How do you leave Har Sinai? And Chazal tell us, you know how they left Har Sinai? They left Har Sinai ketinok haboreach mi beis hasefer. They left Har Sinai like a child leaves school in June. Like a child looks at his clock, his watch, for vacation, for recess, for gym. I can't wait to get out. And that is the Puranis that Vayihi ben Sarah is in the middle of. And the Ramban says something amazing. How many bad things in a row does it take to make a chazaka? Three. So we had one, Vayisu Mehar Hashem. And then two after Vayihi ben Sarah. If Vayihi ben Sarah was in his proper place, you'd have three in a row. And Klal Yisrael would have been destined to the abyss. But no. So it gets interrupted. I'll leave you a thought question to think about. Why interrupt after the first Puranis? If you're worried about Chazaka, have two. And then interrupt in between two and three. You can think about that. But striking Ramban, striking Chazal, how is it that we approach Vayisu Mehar Hashem? And thinking back to that conversation I had with this Talmud, I was kind of feeling burnt out. The Zman is petering out in the Menahel's terminology, at least for him. So the way to get motivated, if that is something that is afflicting you even a little bit, is it's not about these 2 weeks. This is part of the journey of our lives. And a little shout out to my friend Eliezer Scheinman.
Yes.
This morning, I've been very busy the past couple of days. All-nighter here and there. A little addicted to this laptop computer for some reason. Been tired. So learning yesterday's daf, I did an omud. Mayor Haas can testify. I did an omud on the beach. But I was short an omud. And I wanted to, and I didn't give shir. So I wanted to make up yesterday's omud, yesterday's daf. So I told the guys, we're going to learn daf yomi this morning at the breakfast slot. We're going to do yesterday's daf. And Sharman starts having a heart attack. Not exactly, but I see he's getting anxious. He's saying like, what do you mean? Like, today's Tuesday. How do you do Monday daf on Tuesday? It's like an Isser D'oraisa of Baal Ta'acher. Like, what are you talking about? How could you do such a thing? And I asked Eliezer, do you mind if I embarrass you? You don't mind. It's all on why you tell it. That's okay. I asked Eliezer, did you learn yesterday's daf? And like he looks at me like, duh. Like, of course I learned yesterday's daf. It was yesterday. Like, how do I not learn yesterday's daf? Yesterday. What are you talking about? But he did say, he admitted, sheepishly, but I didn't chazer yesterday's daf. But he's like, he has tainas on me. He has tainas on me that like, what do you mean? Today's daf, you learned today, not yesterday's daf. So I was inspired by that. But I want to make a point. You see, Eliezer Scheinman, it doesn't matter, like, you know, in 3 weeks from now, he's not going to be in yeshiva. What, he's not going to learn the daf? Like, are you kidding me? Like, if that's the approach, it doesn't matter. A beach yesterday, I was up all night, my kesher. Like, today he's got to do daf. Like, my kesher. What's the relevancy of that? A week and a half left to yeshiva? So I'm a little burnt out? So what? Like, man up, deal with it, and go weiter. Like, there's no alternative. This is life. This is not a week and a half. This is an approach to life. There will be ups and downs. There will be more exciting dapim and less exciting dapim. There'll be days of davening where I'm more into it, more awake, and less awake. Not every night and day is going to be $1.2 million. It's not. Most days are not going to be the Nisim and the Chanukas HaMizbeach and HaMishkan. It's going to be Bahalos Chesaneiros. It's going to be cleaning out the menorah and lighting the menorah every single day. But at the end of the day, Shalcha Gedola Mishalachem, yours is greater. Because the day in, day out, yes, that's what's going to produce those special $1.2 million moments. But it's the day in and day out, the daily grind of Aaron Cohen, which is Shalcha Gedola Mishalachem. And that's what we're trying to instill in you. That's what we're trying to build. And Bez Hashem, we should all have continued Hatzlacha in every single thing that we do. Bein Beruchnius, Bein Begashmius. We should take advantage, we should highlight for ourselves. A, as we just mentioned, the day in and day out, the Chashivus of the day in, day out. We should highlight for ourselves. What is it that makes us depressed? Think about what gets you down. Because if you think about what gets you down, I know what gets Simon down. When I learned Monday's daf on Tuesday, that gets him down. But think about what gets you down, because that will tell you what's your priority, what's really, really at the center of your life, what's really important to you. Think about your ambitions. Ba'alos chesaneiros, the idea of stepping up. Reach things, climbing that are hard to reach. but that make are so gratifying when you hit those goals. And develop for yourself that sense of independence. You don't need your Rebbe. You do it on your own. You take advantage of your free time, which is never free. It always has a price. And you go ahead and push and maximize and take advantage. So Be'ez Hashem, the next week and a half in Yeshiva and the next May of the Essen thereafter is one that is going to be achieving tremendous, tremendous growth and giving everyone, especially the Ribono Shel Olam, a tremendous sense of Nachas Ruach.